KNW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is meeting right now to consider if embattled Administrator Megan Wolf should have to face a Senate hearing to be reconfirmed. Pete Schwaba reports.
The commission this summer voted to renominate Wolf to a new term. Republicans voted for Wolf's reappointment. The three Democrats abstained. The Democrats maintain the deadlock means Wolf keeps the job indefinitely. But the Republican-controlled state Senate passed a resolution to make Wolf subject to the confirmation process. Republicans have made Wolf the face of what they consider problems with Wisconsin's election system, although Wolf never made any of those decisions. Pete Schwaba, Civic Media News.
Today marks the first anniversary of the Bipartisan Inflation Reduction Act. Among other things, it's brought health care costs down for small businesses. It's also creating new clean energy jobs.
And that you're going to see effects for the next decade continue to happen. So I think the positive sides are jobs are absolutely there. Pay is up. Inflation is coming down.
Congressman Mark Pocan spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. A pioneer for equality for women and Native Americans in Wisconsin and across the country has died. Brittany Merlot has more now on the life of Ada Deer.
Ada Deer was the first woman to lead the U.S. Bureau of Indian Affairs. She was the first woman to be chair of the Menominee Nation. And she was the first Native American woman to run for Congress in Wisconsin. Deer was instrumental in restoring federal recognition for her tribe and also fought for the sovereignty of all indigenous nations. Deer died last night. She was 88 years old. I'm Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
Seven Red Cross volunteers in Wisconsin are helping with wildfire relief efforts in Hawaii. They're helping evacuees with food, shelter, and counseling. They'll be gone for 3 weeks. Parts of Wisconsin are forecast to see highs in the 90s again next week. Pet owners are urged to get ready. Here's Mike Moan.
Kristen Schrank of the Wisconsin-based group Alliance for Animals says in general, ripple effects from a warming planet pose threats in a variety of ways.
We're experiencing extreme heat and cold, wildfires, smoke, and poor air quality. So this is not only impacting, you know, humans on the planet and their companion animals, but it's also impacting wildlife.
For summer heat, Schrank says pet owners should always keep fresh and clean water accessible, along with a shady spot. For those with a yard, she says enhancing landscaping, such as adding trees or shrubs, is helpful. Cooling mats for dogs are another option. I'm Mike Moan.
There's a new website to help people track drought conditions in Wisconsin. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what you need to know. Native American and Menominee Indian tribe leader Ada Deer has died. Deer was born in Kenosha in 1935 and was the first of the Menominee tribe to graduate from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She went on to be an advocate for Native American rights at the local, state, and federal level. In 1993, she was appointed Assistant Secretary of the Interior by President Bill Clinton. Deer's death was announced by the Menominee tribe on Wednesday. She was 88 years old. If you're tired of being stuck behind a slowpoke in the left lane, you're not alone. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is on your side. The Wisconsin DOT actually took to social media and reminded people that driving too slow is also against the law, especially if you're not keeping up with the normal pace of traffic, adding that slower drivers should only use the left lane when turning left or passing someone even slower. Pete Schwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Patriots have come to town. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp here in Green Bay, where joint practice sessions are underway with New England. I asked head coach Bill Belichick about facing the Packers this week.
This team that's, you know, had a lot of success, won more games than any team in the NFC in the last 5 years. So it's a really solid program, well coached, pretty well balanced team. So it's been a good week for us. Look forward to it.
Former Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott made the trip with the team and signed his 1 year deal worth $6 million.
Yeah, good to have Zeke. Yeah, we had a good visit with him, and I look forward to working with him. You know, spent time with him in the last night and on the trip. You know, terminology and plays and protections, things like that.
Matt LaFleur says it was Green Bay who initiated this week's joint practice session.
Pretty sure that we reached out. I mean, it's no secret. He's highly regarded as one of the greatest coaches of all time. So why not try to steal a little piece from how they do things and just get a closer look at it.
On special teams, Green Bay rookie place kicker Anders Carlson had a horrible field goal attempt during the two-minute drill that floated and flopped wide left about 12 yards shy of the goalpost. It was a good day, though, overall, for quarterback Jordan Love.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just focusing on getting better every day. I'm where I'm at, but I'm always trying to focus on improving every day. There's always little things that, you know, I'm trying to work on every day.
College football, the Badger star running back Braylon Allen was asked how many receptions would he like to make this season. He said, 50.
Longo asked me how many catches I wanted this year. I think I said like 50. So I guess like four or five a game would be ideal for me.
Baseball, is the Brewers and the Dodgers tonight in L.A. The Brewers losing last night to the Dodgers 6-2. Craig Counsell after the game.
You know, you got to play a good game to beat them. You know, I feel like we're as good as anybody. That part of our game and our team is something that has won us a lot of games. We just didn't execute it tonight.
That's Brewers manager Craig Counsell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Morning. You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Dama Hump Day Edition. Feeling good up in here. Always great to have our friend Scott Ross, Gemini Firebrand. Always great when he comes around. Thank you for doing so, Scott. And if you missed him, you can find him on the podcast at thecivicmedia.us. Go to the show page and find the greatest radio show ever. I think they got us listed under the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. But Dom, I got to tell you.
What?
I am enthusiastic to report as we start this fine hour.
Yeah?
We got a trial date ask in Fulton County, and it's coming pretty quick. Fulton County DA, that's the Fawny Willistown, seeking a March 4th trial date in the Trump case. Now, I had seen people dismissing, poo-pooing it, but she's being very considerate in many regards, Dom. Let me read a little from thehill.com. Fulton County District Attorney Fawny Willis is requesting a March 4th start date to the trial of former President Trump and 18 co-defendants over an alleged plot to subvert the state's 2020 election results and keep Trump in power. Now, Willis also proposed that their arraignments occur during the week of September 5th, you know, after Labor Day, writing that the defendants would be notified of their arraignment date at least 5 days in advance, according to a new court filing. She said, dates would not conflict with Trump's other legal matters. Oh, well, I've got a statement here from the ever-considerate Fawny Willis, Tom. In light of defendant Donald John Trump's other criminal and civil matters pending in the courts in our sister and sovereigns, the state of Georgia proposes certain deadlines that do not conflict with these other courts' already scheduled hearings and trial dates, Willis wrote in the filing. Now, the trial start date will ultimately be decided by a judge. In the Trump New York hush money case, the trial date is set for March 25th. The federal case probing his retention, you know, the classified documents, the paperwork crimes, Dom, well, that's set to begin May 20th in Florida. And a date has not been set for the federal trial in D.C. over his actions. You know, the January 6th, losing the whole 2020 election, Dom, but special counsel Jack Smith proposed a start date of January 2nd. I like that one best, Dom. Start the new year. When announcing the charges Monday, Willis said her office would request a trial date, a start date within the next 6 months and intended to try all 19 co-defendants together, signaling Her office would not waste time. We do want to move this case along, she said. Yes, with alacrity. Make it imminent. Keep it moving, as they say, Dom.
Just to recap, Crudy, Trump faces 13 new charges in Georgia, alleging the former president violated the RICO statute and a number of other criminal statutes in Georgia. Those charges include solicitation of violation of oath of office by a public officer, as well as several conspiracy charges related to filing fraudulent documents, forgery, and making false statements. The indictment outlines more than 160 acts that prosecutors allege Trump and 18 other lawyers, aides, allies, and affiliates committed in furtherance of that conspiracy.
Indicted and unindicted co-conspirators, Dom.
Many. Come on. I mean, this... Now we're here, right? Now, I remember, you know, when we first started talking about all the possibilities and the headwind, you know, that Trump and his campaign could possibly face. Well, now that was before any of these trials were set, before anything happened. Well, now we see it kind of laying out. Now we know the timelines. Now we know what's happening. And granted, these are probably, as many of our expert guests have told us, more wish lists than anything. But no matter how you slice it, how you dice it, how is Trump going to manage it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it is something going on every month and above and beyond the day job. And that's assuming nothing else comes down. And I'm not sure that we're done.
We're not even done for this segment, Dom. Here's some of the new breaking news in regards to the indictments. Mark Meadows offered cash from Trump campaign to investigator auditing Georgia's mail-in ballots.
Hey, if I give you a little money, you can make it move a little faster, huh? You help me out, man? One hand washes the other. They both wash it a face. Forget about it.
Dominic Mark Meadows is accused of offering financial assistance to state investigators. Yeah. Throw it in the policeman's ball. Something like that.
Yeah.
Financial assistance to state investigators during signature matching if they move faster as to finish by January 6th, the indictment reads. Legal analyst and former federal prosecutor Cynthia Alskany observed the little-known detail on page 45 in the Fulton County indictment relating to attempts to overturn the 2020 election that was released late Monday. Signature matching involved looking at absentee ballots, which need to have all signatures on their envelope in an effort to see if any had been, let's just say, improperly filled out, Tom. On or about the 27th day of December 2020, Mark Randall Meadows sent a text message to the office of the Georgia Secretary of State Chief Investigator Francis Watson that stated in part, "Is there a way to speed up the Fulton County signature verification in order to have the results before January 6th, if the Trump campaign assisted financially? What if we gave you some cash in a brown bag? You know, you stick it in a suitcase, take it home."
Yeah, brown bag's too small.
The conclusion of the indictment says, Dom, this was an overt act in the furtherance of a conspiracy.
No, I was just helping out a friend.
That's a conspiracy. That's what I say, Dom. So all sorts of tidbits being sort of pulled out of the indictment, the details, the finer details, Dom. Mark Meadows, he's in trouble. He's trying to have he's trying to have it shifted to the federal courts, which would effectively be a dismissal of the state charges. And if he did so, he could claim that he was acting in his federal capacity. You know, when he was offering cash from the Trump campaign to investigators from the Secretary of State's office, if they could just keep it moving. Because
I mean, the fact that you're talking about cash from the campaign makes it specifically not government related. You know what I mean? It's not like you're getting cash from the IRS.
I'm just doing my job here as chief of staff to the president.
I'll get the IRS to send you some money. He's talking about paying him off from Trump's campaign account.
I do Diet Coke delivery. No matter how you look at it,
that is not a function of government.
Well, the chief of staff's role is to deliver Diet Cokes and, you know, to broker payoffs, Dom. 844-967-2789. What a fine phone number it is. Cost you nothing to join us. Let me see. I don't even have them up.
I got it up. Let's get to it. Joe from Madison, you're up. Happy hump day, Joe. What do you got for us?
Hey, Joe.
Oh, wonderful stuff. Appreciate it so much, you guys. And I just wanted to comment on two things. First off, I think that Scott Ross won the award for the week in your previous segment when he referred to Derek Van Orten from the third, the rather inebriated guy at midnight who was screaming at the high school pages at the National Capitol. And I think he referred to him as Chug-a-Lug Van Orten. And I really hope you return to that. That is just lovely. It is so descriptive and right there. It's just a very poetic little thing. And then, Dom, I wanted to throw into the mix here. You were wondering about the time of day that Trump could surrender. And as I understand it, and I could be wrong, but as I understand it, that he's going to be surrendering to the jail, the Fulton County Jail. And the sheriff has been quite blunt about saying that that jail is open 24 hours a day, as you might imagine, okay, to take in people. Yeah, and as I understand it, and I don't have this for sure, but some have suggested that part of that intake includes, and I really would love this if this were true, height and weight.
Well, did he already disclose he was 6'3", 239 pounds, 1 pound below the morbidly obese threshold? I know, because I try to stay below that number myself.
I don't know, but I thought that that's going to be a lovely moment. And I actually think somebody suggested that he might try to surrender at, say, 2 in the morning and try to avoid the crowds, which it gives a nice mental picture of some poor person who's, you know, hauled in from, I don't know, a DWI or something like that, and who just ever get down the road.
Hey, man, what are you in for?
And so, coup d'etat.
Thank you, Joe. I certainly appreciate it. And great points. Thank you for bringing that
and
up.
And a great laugh.
Trump could potentially, if it's not the courthouse, and certainly it is the sheriff's office. The sheriff's office don't close. Thank you, Joe, for that. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate Scott Ross being in there and his bringing up all of Scott Walker's sins. It reminds me, there's a sci-fi book by Joel Haldeman that all my sins remembered. Well, all Scott Walker's sins should be remembered, including, you know, the sins he created prior to that, but when he was in county executive, using the county office to run his campaign along with the collusion and participation of, it seems like, most of the staff in his county office there, with the Secret Service server and all that. That
when you say it like that, it hardly sounds like a political persecution of the former gubernator, the way he describes it.
Well, he should actually recognize the fact, and we should recognize the fact, that when he was violating the law, he was violating the law at that time. If he thought the law was wrong, he should have taken action prior to his violation of the law to actually change the law, rather than getting the Supreme collusion of the Supreme Court at the time to say, oh, this law is unconstitutional, even though in the past they declared it constitutional. I mean, just because this little Scotty Wanker and his, you know, ham sandwich campaign, well, screw that. I mean, that Scott Walker his ears should be pinned back at every opportunity.
Well, let's do so one more time. Remember when Scott Walker failed as a presidential candidate? Yes, 71 days, he was out by September 21st. Well, technically, that's when summer ends. You know, I know we're
throwing. He got out so another conservative candidate could come forward and defeat Donald Trump. And now he wants to host Donald Trump the debate next week.
Desperately. He's begging the guy, please, Trump, come make me relevant. 844-96. Party, come back with us.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. Test your home for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com. Get a free test kit now.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered storms tonight. Otherwise, overcast skies. Lows level off around 64. Winds out of the southwest, 20 to 25 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 73. Mainly cloudy. Clear skies and quiet tomorrow night. Lows level off around 55. Bright sunshine expected Friday with daytime highs approaching 76. 86 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 82.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dom, I've got shocking and perhaps even heartbreaking news, not for you or I, but for most of Trump's lawyers. Apparently he's been stiffing them all, Dom. All of them. Didn't pay the Kraken, didn't pay the Giuliani. Really, he's been stiffing a whole series of lawyers.
Didn't he literally raise like $250 million? And that was a while ago. That number probably has gone up specifically for his legal defense fund.
Well, he's kind of tight on cash this week. Ask him next week.
All right.
We'll get to that, Dom. Trump reneged on handshake agreement to pay lawyers pushing false election claims. So
handshake agreement with Trump? Are you crazy? I mean, who does that? You deserve to get burned.
You know, I made some handshake agreements just in the last 2 days, Dom. But you're right. I would like to think my word is binding. Trump less so. Got a worse reputation. Four of former President Donald Trump's legal advisors listed as unidentified co-conspirators in the United States Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith criminal indictment for the alleged conspiracy to overturn the 2020 election were never paid, despite the fact their lawsuits and false claims of election interference helped the Trump campaign and allied committees raise $250 million in the weeks following the November vote. According to CNBC's Brian Schwartz, Trump has a long history of not paying his bills, Schwartz writes, noting one of the people that he stiffed was Rudy Giuliani, the ex-New York City mayor who was Trump's personal defense counsel and a longtime personal friend. Now, in Trump's defense in regards to Rudy, Rudy offered to do the work pro bono because he was stiffing his ex-wife in the divorce.
Couldn't make any money.
If you remember, he had the pretty girl down at the office. He was paying her off the books for the sexual favors.
But then he also stiffed her. There's a lot of stiffing going on with these Republicans, at least as it pertains to their paying of the bills.
Dominic, Trump and Giuliani had a handshake agreement that Giuliani and his team would get paid by the Trump political operation for their post-election work. What fine work it was, too. Hasn't he been disbarred for that fine work?
Yes, and indicted.
According to Timothy Pelletor, a attorney for longtime Giuliani ally Bernard Carrick, Schwartz says, but the Trump campaign and their affiliated committees ultimately did not honor that pledge, according to the campaign finance records. The failure to pay Giuliani and his team came up last week in a private interview between the prosecutors on special counsel Jack Smith's team and Bernard Carrick, a member of Giuliani's team in late 2020, according to Parlator. Dom, Schwartz recalls that the Federal Election Commission records and testimony from the House January 6th Select Committee hearing reveal that none of the private sector lawyers identified, but not indicted in the case, got paid their post-election work. Not Sidney Powell, Kenneth Cheesebro, or John Eastman. They all got stiffed. We've talked about Cheesebro.
If you're going to help perpetuate a criminal conspiracy and overthrow the government of the United States and disenfranchise, you know, millions and millions of voters, shouldn't you at least make a dime off it?
Dominic,
you know what I mean?
Trump reneging on his gentleman's contract with Giuliani, Schwartz observed, is all the more striking given that Giuliani was charged along with Trump by Fulton County DA Fani Willis for trying to steal the election in Georgia under the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's RICO, upon which Giuliani built his career as a federal prosecutor in the Southern District of New York. Ironic, don't you think, Dom? A little too ironic? I mean, if you stiff your lawyer and your lawyer is a co-defendant, a co-conspirator, but you never bothered paying him for the work. Now, I know Trump demands loyalty and expects loyalty, Dom, but how much loyalty do you get out of a Giuliani who hasn't been paid?
An Italian who's not been paid? Probably not much. I know, speaking from experience.
There's a little bit more here, Dom. You got this or you want me to take it?
No, go ahead. I do not have it. I have something else when you're done.
Trump's fundraising push after he lost to President Joe Biden is also under scrutiny by Smith, whom Politico's Betsy Woodruff, Swan, and Kyle Cheney explained on August 8th is investigating if Trump Save America Political Action Committee, and here's a quote, Dom, violated federal laws by raising money off claims of voter fraud they knew were false. That is what should send Trump to prison. Follow the money, right, dude? Follow the $250 million. That's a lot of money. It's easy to follow.
There's so many things that should send this man to prison. If you and I did it, Crudy, we'd be going to prison.
But if we committed fraud on the level of $250 million, if we misled people, hey, we were robbed. We got mugged on the street and there was a huge GoFundMe. And they raised $250 million. And they said, here's the money. We said, oh, but, you know, we didn't get robbed. And we knew we didn't get robbed. But we're still going to keep your money. And by the way, we're stiffing the lawyers.
Crudy, on that same, I guess, level, Rudy Giuliani, according to the Roar story here, the mobsters who he charged, they're very happy. Speaking to the Messenger, veteran mob lawyer Murray Rickman said that while most mobsters tend to be fans of Donald Trump, let's just pause for a moment. Most mobsters tend to be fans of Donald Trump. They have no love for Giuliani due to the fact that he was mainly responsible for breaking the back of the New York mob in the 80s when he was a federal prosecutor. You could quote me to say they're effing thrilled, Rickman said, adding they've spoken to some of his clients on the matter. All of them are almost unified in their position of hating effing Rudy, he said, adding that he thought Giuliani was a horribly dishonest prosecutor and the wheel of karma is about to crush him.
Karma's a bitch, man.
Ain't it, though? Ain't it, though? But isn't it ironic that my takeaway from this piece, the mobsters, they love themselves some Trump. Hell yeah, they do.
Well, he's one of them, Dom. You know, he knows how they speak operate.
A friend of mine or a friend of ours? You know what I mean?
Be a friend of the devil's advocates. Call us.
Be a friend of ours.
967-2789. More Crudy's friend than Dom's, though. Be careful around that guy.
I promise you, I will pay for the legal fees. I promise.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. At the White House today, President Biden and other Democratic leaders celebrating the first anniversary of passing the Inflation Reduction Act. Mr. Biden hitting back at some early critics.
The Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal initially called my plan Bidenomics. I'm not sure they meant it in a totally complimentary way at the time. But guess what? It's working.
The president noting the inflation rate is two-thirds lower than a year ago and that the country's seen more than 13 million jobs added during his first term. Just back from Hawaii, FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell, who says the agency will take the lead in recovery after the Maui wildfires.
We also recognize that this is a large event for them, and they are a small state.
Former President Trump's legal calendar filling up. The Fulton County, Georgia DA looking into efforts to overturn the election wants to start his trial on March 4th. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. Last night, the Kewaunee County Board of Supervisors voted 11-7 to move forward with a design for a new jail. This will be the third set of plans drawn up in over a year. The board approved a new facility last year with a vote of 19-1. That was at a $25 million cost. When a more recent plan came in $8 million higher, the board said no. Sheriff Matt Josky has pushed hard for a new facility and told Civic Media yesterday that the current jail is unsafe, citing outdated detention doors, plumbing deficiencies, and safety issues due to outdated construction. The current Kewaunee County Jail is the oldest and smallest in the state. Two pets died in a fire in Fond du Lac last night. The fire started a little before 7 p.m. at 129 West Scott Street. The fire was put out in less than 30 minutes, but not before the pets could be saved. No humans were home or hurt during the fire. The incident will be investigated. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, the happier happy hour. Rolling through it, Tom. Still time for plenty of phone calls, plenty of takes. Just the hot ones, though. 844-967-2789. Dom, you sent me a hot take. That cheese bro guy?
Cheese bro. Don't be a cheese bro.
He's on the lam.
What?
Is he fleeing prosecution, Dom, or just a rich guy that lives overseas these days?
Isaac Stanley Becker from the Washington Post. And for those of you who stuck around in the first hour, we addressed Kenneth Cheesebro's background in an article here locally at the Urban Milwaukee, Bruce Murphy. But found this one also regarding Cheesebro on the Washington Post. Now let's go read a little bit for you. Puerto Rico, the blinds were drawn at a handsome villa on an oceanfront gated community on the northern coast of this Caribbean island. Inside, a woman's voice could be heard calling out, Ken, but no one answered the door. Records show this is the tropical refuge of Kenneth J. Cheesebro. Some people call him Chesbro. That's wrong. A lawyer who allegedly marshaled supporters of Donald Trump to pose as electors in states won by Joe Biden in 2020, creating a pretext for Vice President Mike Pence to delay counting or disregard valid electoral college votes. on January 6th of 2021. Since then, Cheese Bro 62 has kept a low profile. He decamped to Puerto Rico from New York last year. He had like a $15 million penthouse, according to Urban Milwaukee. And some friends said he's fallen out of touch.
I hate when that happens, Dom, when a close friend who, you know, tries to overturn the government, and then he heads down to sunny Puerto Rico and he doesn't stay in touch.
A prominent law firm issued no public announcement last year when it tapped him to run a new department and added no mention of him to its website. And here's a Wisconsin tie, Crudy. Wisconsin lawyers handling a case against him in Wisconsin have told a judge they were unable to locate him. Unable to locate Kenneth Cheese Bro, the architect, the author of the coup. Even the House Select Committee that investigated the pro-Trump attack on the Capitol did not depose him until last fall after it had interviewed more than 1,000 others and conducted public hearings because it had trouble finding him, according to a person.
That's the way he likes it, Dom. You know, sometimes you like your privacy.
To speak publicly. All right, but he's got to show up next week, man. Here, what are the odds? What are the odds Cheese Bro shows up in Georgia next week?
I'd say pretty damn good. I mean, Puerto Rico is still part of the United States. You're getting extra.
Keep running. You
don't have to extradite from Puerto Rico, dude. You can get a guy back.
What do you think? I mean, what do you think is going through a man's head? I mean, he was living at large, as we noted. He worked for Lawrence Tribe, man. Went to school in Cambridge and did some stuff for Tribe.
Gave money to Russ Feingold.
Gave money to Democrats, supported, defended Democrats, and believed in liberal causes, and then made a bunch of money on Bitcoin, divorced his wife for 20 years, married a 21-year-old, and moved to Manhattan in a very expensive penthouse. And now he left that Manhattan to, hide out on the island, get the island life, man? You got to wonder, does he smell the wet concrete and hear the scurry of the roaches in the prison cell? You better enjoy the beach, man.
The Ken I know would not have been involved with that, says Holly Hostrup, a lawyer who worked with Cheese Bro about 20 years ago on litigation against the tobacco industry, back when he was a good guy, back before he got rich on Bitcoin and dumped the wife and married the 20-year-old. She was only 20, apparently. Might be 21 now. I have great respect for his legal skills and felt we were on the side of the angels in that litigation. It makes me wonder how we got sucked into this. Well, Dom, he wanted the tax break, apparently. Cheese Bro and his attorney did not respond to requests for comment. As part of a rare interview with Talking Points Memo last summer, Cheese Bro issued a statement saying, "It is the duty of any attorney to leave no stone unturned in examining the legal options that exist in a particular situation." This is what lawyers do. Is it? Is that what they do? You know, they explore all facets of the criminality with you, Dom. Lay it out there for you. The successful appellate lawyer studying at Harvard University under Lawrence Tribe, as mentioned, the preeminent legal scholar who advised congressional Democrats on both of Trump's impeachments. Cheese Bro continued working with Tribe for about 20 years on wide-ranging litigation involving class action claims and punitive damages. But Fred said his politics seemed to shift after he reaped sizable returns with his investments in cryptocurrency in the past half decade. He began to stake out more of a libertarian position in legal briefs, especially in his home state of Wisconsin, where he started donating to Republicans and working with the former judge. Wait for it, Jim Troupas. We should all know that name. Make a note of that name, Jim Troupas. You hear the name Jim Troupas, just think Republican malfeasance in the state of Wisconsin. Troupas, who Cheese Bro would later testify under oath, had brought him into Trump's orbit.
See, that was your first mistake.
He was not making good faith legal arguments for his client, said Tribe, who said he had been distressed to see his former mentee emerge as an architect of Trump's plan to cling to power. He was inventing legal fiction that paid no attention to the law and created a pretext for a conspiracy to steal an election. Cheese Bro, pronounced Cheese Bro, After the family origins in the English borough on the River Cheese.
It's no, that's a River Cheese. River Cheese. That's the River Cheese.
Oh, my bad. River Cheese. Well, Tom, that's he was true, raised in Wisconsin Rapids. You can listen to us there on WFHR, locally grown radio, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. Please make a note of it. But Cheese Bro was raised in Rapids, about 100 miles north of Madison, according to a relative who spoke on the condition of anonymity to share private details. His father was a music teacher. His mother was a speech therapist. I think he was always pretty liberal, said another relative, Emery Erickson, Cheesebro's stepfather, who is no longer married to his mother. And after attending Northwestern, Cheesebro went on to Harvard Law School, where some classmates knew him as the Cheese. He graduated in 86, the same year as Elena Kagan, the Supreme Court Justice, and a year ahead of Ron Klain, Biden's longtime aide and former White House Chief of Staff. All were research assistants for Tribe, the professor said. Dom, a brief detour in Washington involved a clerkship with Gerhard Gessel. We talked about that. Now, he was a prominent member during the Watergate trials in which he affirmed that it is impossible to preserve freedom anywhere. When the zealots take over and the rule of law is ignored, then Cheesebro went back to Cambridge, Mass. To continue working with Tribe. That Cheesebro.
Cheesebro.
You can see why the 21-year-old girl was attracted to him. It was, you know, the Bitcoin millions, Sam, because otherwise sort of a squirrely-looking fella.
Money is so sexy, who apparently, according to the Urban Milwaukee reporting, has a big problem making eye contact. Because, you know, nothing says trust with an attorney who doesn't make eye contact. Jumping down in this Washington Post piece, anticipating the chaos, Cheesebro began working with the Trump campaign about 6 days after the 2020 election at the request of who? Troopas. He would later tell the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack. Troopas, quote, wanted help from an appellate lawyer going forward to make sure he could adequately staff the case, Cheesebro said. And so he asked me if I was willing to do that. I said, yeah. Memos and documents cited in the indictments in Washington and Atlanta show how Cheesebro laid the legal foundation for dueling slates of pro-Trump electors. A November 18, 2020 memo from Cheesebro urged Trump electors to meet and vote in Wisconsin because of the ongoing recount in the state, according to the indictment. Then Cheesebro wrote on December 6, in a December 6 memo, that Trump electors should convene not just in Wisconsin, but in six contested states as a way to prevent Biden from amassing 270 electoral votes. The memo anticipated that Pence would not just open, but count the sham votes, creating uncertainty about the election's true victor. In a memo 3 days later, federal prosecutors charged Cheesebro provided instructions on how fraudulent electors could mimic legitimate electors. On December 13th, the day before the electors were to convene, Cheesebro emailed Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani to argue that Pence could choose from among conflicting votes presented to Congress, according to documents released by the House investigators and cited in the Georgia indictment. The suggestion was at odds with how mainstream lawyers have long interpreted the U.S. Constitution's 12th Amendment and the Electoral Count Act of 1887. But Cheesebro wrote that his proposal seems preferable to allowing the Federal Election Count, the Electoral Count Act, to operate by its terms, according to the indictment. Cheesebro went on to distribute instructions and draft certificates to sham electors in various states, prosecutors allege. In Wisconsin, he attended the meeting of the Trump electors held at the state capitol. The state GOP chairman said in his deposition before the House committee. The committee also asked Cheesebro in his deposition about the documents showing he was on a list to attend a December 16th meeting at the White House. He declined to answer, as he did with many of the committee's questions, invoking attorney-client privilege and the Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination on Christmas Eve, as he and Eastman sized up the chances that four Supreme Court justices, the number needed to take a case, would agree to hear an election-related complaint. Cheesebro wrote in an email cited by the House committee that the justices might be moved to act if they feared chaos on January 6th. And as they write here in the Washington Post, and we all know, that chaos came.
Dominic, I'd like to jump a little farther back in the piece and tie down some more Wisconsin roots for Cheesebro. You know, back when he was making his crypto fortune. Back then, Cheesebro seemed like a committed Democrat. He donated to the Clinton Gore campaign and John F. Kerry's 2000 Senate campaign. And when Tribe invited him to a fundraiser for Barack Obama's Senate campaign in 2004, Chisbo responded with effusive praise for the rising Democratic star, also a former Tribe research assistant. He wrote that the candidate speech at that year's Democratic National Convention recalled the oratory of Abraham Lincoln, according to emails first reported by the newsletter Airmail and reviewed by the Washington Post. And he mused that Obama would make a pretty good Supreme Court justice. When Obama was elected president 4 years later and Tribe thought he might be appointed to a position at the Justice Department, Chisbro helped his former professor anticipate right-wing lines of attack, according to correspondents from the time. And then he got rich, Dom. In 2014, Chisbro invested in a Bitcoin fund overseen by Grayscale, a cryptocurrency asset manager. He would later write to Tribe he had invested a low six-figure sum and ended up making several million dollars when he sold in 2017. Then after prices crashed in 18, well, what do? Dom, you reinvest the profits.
Double down, baby.
Dom, perhaps not surprisingly, in 2016, he changed his party registration in Massachusetts from Democrat to unaffiliated, according to the Cambridge Elections Commission. And around the same time, the political bent of his legal briefs became less predictable, according to friends and colleagues. Earlier that year, he joined with the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Dom loves those guys. A conservative firm based in Milwaukee to file an amicus brief supporting the state legislature's ban on residency requirements for most municipal jobs. Requirements favored by the Democratic-leaning city. You know, like the cops in Milwaukee must live in Milwaukee.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. That's been a big shift. 4 months later, he worked with John Eastman. We've heard of that guy, Dom. A constitutional lawyer affiliated with the right-wing Claremont Institute on an amicus brief that cast birthright citizenship, the constitutional guarantee that anyone born in the United States is a citizen, as a vestige of feudal times. Get rid of that. Eastman, yeah, who would go on to advise Trump after the 2020 election, did not respond to questions about his relationships with Chisbro. He was also indicted Monday in Georgia. There's more about his connections to Wisconsin, Dom, that Chisbro, he's been filthy in the state. And suddenly, the former liberal working for Lawrence Tribe, he hits it rich, gets rich, I tell you. I'm rich, bitch. I sold my Bitcoin, I got rich. And suddenly, he turned all Republican. That's not too surprising, is it? And now he's been charged under RICO Suave laws. And he's hiding out in Puerto Rico last time we checked. So come back with us. You too, Cheese Bro. Hope he's listening. Your phone calls, last opportunity today, 844-96-PARTY. It's a party up in here.
Protect your family from radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free test kit at newradon.com. That's newradon.com.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Here's
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies tonight with a chance for scattered storms. Lows around 64. Southwesterly winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 73. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 55. Tomorrow night, clear skies and quiet. Sunny skies and calm Friday with daytime highs approaching 76. 86 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 82.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And welcome back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, the people are partying in the streets here in Madison. It's jazz at 5. I can hear the music playing. State Street closed down. All the people out there gathering. Beautiful day here.
Stay focused, Crudy. Stay focused.
Well, I'm staying focused. Still time for your calls at 844-967-2789. Our pal from the leftist coast, Tom in Elway. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. First off, we the people. Out of the government. We must never forget that. We have to get money out of politics, but then restore government back to we the people. Second, I was going to request that you guys pull up some clips from the past and maybe start playing them again, but Mr. Foxconn and Wisconsin people.
Thank you, Mr. Foxconn. Foxconn.
Yeah. And then also Donald Trump talking about what a great deal Foxconn was.
It's wonder in the world they built here.
Exactly. And then also, you know, the Ron Johnson one where I see nothing. That's also a very good one. But yeah, pull out some of the hits from the past and play those, because I think people really need to, the Republicans really need to be labeled with Foxconn right on their forehead everywhere you go, because they definitely have conned the, you know, the honest people in Wisconsin and the, you know, regular Americans in Wisconsin. They totally have conned them over.
Well, Tom, the saddest part is best case scenario when Robin Voss came to the podium. And I was in the assembly parlor that day at the Wisconsin Capitol, plopped my ass down in the front row because, you know, I like to be close to the action, Tom. And at that time, he was promising these well-paying jobs would be $13 an hour. That's $26,000 a year. We gave out $4.5 billion in incentives, and perhaps they're not all going to pay off.
Yeah, we offered.
Yeah, but we're already on the hook for like $1 billion just in infrastructure on something that's never going to come to realization. But the upside, we're $13 an hour jobs.
Yeah, I just don't know, because, you know, people lost their homes and everything too because of eminent domain.
Utilizing the heavy hand of government, Tom, to kick people out of, in some cases, newly built homes so that they could make a political play to bring Foxconn, quote unquote, into Wisconsin for Trump and for Scott Walker. It was all a ruse, and people lost their homes because of political games played by Scott Walker. And now Foxconn is, you know, selling off their innovation centers around the big media market cities that they bought up. What a joke. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for listening, Tom. You know, Foxconn's been in it for the long game, Tom. You know, buy and hold real estate. 844-967-2789. Northwoods Terry. Welcome, Terry. What do you got for us?
Hello, Terry.
Hi, guys. I believe I heard this on an earlier broadcast, but anyway, it went like this. One of the guys on there, the guest, said, when Trump was trying to figure out which party he was going to run under, Democrat or Republican, he decided to run under Republican because they're easier to BS. So next time I see a Trump sticker on a fender flopper going down the road, I'm going to have to pull over and roll in a ditch and laugh. So.
Well, as long as you don't push that guy into the ditch, because if he voted for Trump, he's got enough problems already, Terry.
Well, I thought that was very telling. They're easier to BS. So I thought that was very telling.
Well, yeah. If your goal is to grift all the money you can from the American people, start with the dumb ones. Or the grand old party, as they like to call themselves. 844-967-2789. Wendy in Appletown. Welcome, Wendy. What do you got for us?
Hey, Wendy.
Well, you know, the United States used to be the leader in democracy. Now I think we're the leader in mockery because of what's going on. And I just wonder if we're the laughing stock of the world right now.
No, we got big defense budgets. We still got all the guns, so no one's laughing to our faces, Wendy.
Wendy, it is tough, and I totally get that. And I think, you know, this test is ongoing. You know, it doesn't end when Trump is either brought to justice or gets away with it, which is a constant battle. So it's not whether or not, you know, it's how we react to this kind of headwind that is going to define us, Wendy. So, I mean, yes, I certainly believe when Donald Trump was president, we absolutely were the laughing stock. I don't think there's any question there. But how we react as a society, as a democracy, as a country built on laws and not of men, we'll be telling, and that's a constant battle. Thanks for the call, Wendy.
844-967-2789. Paul from Monona. Welcome, Paul. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Devils. Nice to hear you guys again today. So in terms of that last caller who had that thing about Donald Trump saying he would run for, you know, the Republican Party because they were more gullible, much as I want to believe that, that was actually debunked. But, oh, my God, is it still true?
Well, debunked in what regard? I mean, the guy used to be supportive of many Democratic policies. He used to sit on the Planned Parenthood board in New York, I believe. You know,
I used to listen to the Howard Stern show, and he was quite liberal and very in. He was very in tight with Hillary and Bill Clinton, and somehow that changed. But actually, I read that whole. I would run as a Republican because they're more gullible. That was actually debunked, as much as I want it to be true, because it really is.
But the sentiment's true, Paul. You know what I'm saying? The sentiment's true.
Absolutely.
Whether or not he ever said the words publicly.
Right. You know, I think the Republicans look at it this way, Paul. You have to infer the statement was said.
Yeah. Oh, but it broke my heart when I heard that.
Yeah. Well, we want to be truthful and honest on it, Paul. We appreciate you bringing it up. 844-967-2789.
Is somebody fact-checking the greatest radio show ever?
Come on, man. That's okay.
Perhaps we're bringing you alternative facts.
It's a thing now. It's a thing. Isn't it, CJ? Hey, CJ, welcome. Your boy's getting indicted. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's spaghetti on the wall.
You know what? I don't care what CJ thinks, because F his feelings. That's what a Trumpster would say, right? F your feelings. That's what I say to you, CJ. F your feelings, man. I don't care what you think. I'm feeling quite
come on, man.
Fuzzy and exuberant about the newest round of.
I had to say. I haven't heard from
him. Well, he'll call back tomorrow, man. The guy's trolling us each and every day around here. Stick around.
I guess they're going to have to try again tomorrow, CJ. We'll be back tomorrow. We're here every Monday through Friday, 4
you know,
to 6 p.m. Central.
I'm not even done broadcasting for the day, Dom. I'm going to be part of the Empowered Caregiver Show after 7 o'clock right here on the Civic Media Network. Liza Hellenbrand, the host thereof, featuring a number of Civic Media hosts. William Walter is going to be on there. Phil Neve from Richland Center. Yours truly. Others. It'll be a cavalcade of stars. Maggie Dawn is next, then the Empowered Caregivers, and then Rick Smith. Keep it locked, all you patriots, on the Civic Media app.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nacoosa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of August, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on August 26th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nacoosa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nacoosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Aminakusa presents the golden days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to four times. The golden days await at Ho-Chunk Aminakusa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the rewards club booth at Ho-Chunk Aminakusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming ABC on the Civic News Media app. I'm